You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Over the past couple of weeks, especially now that we are on level 4, there has been a real emphasis on looking after those who are immunocompromised as well as the elderly. This includes cancer patients, especially those who are currently undertaking treatment. While there are talks of at-home treatments being developed, currently patients will still have to go into clinics for treatments. James talked to the CEO of Leukemia and Blood Cancer New Zealand, Peter Ferguson, about how they are going with reaching patients and what progress is being made to succeed in these new conditions. James also ended up talking to Peter about how non-for-profit organisations are coping, especially ones like LBCNZ, where funding has tanked and the pressure to meet demand has increased.
Patients, my understanding is that patients are still receiving treatment for those that have blood cancer. That obviously creates a massive challenge for them. They're very fearful about heading into the DHBs because unlike the rest of us, they do have a severely compromised immune system. So they are struggling with the concept of treatment as well at the moment.
And what about those needing a diagnosis?
They still have access to the GPs. They still have access to clinicians. Obviously, the priority is going into COVID-19. So I suspect that they are not as prioritised as they have been in the past, but it's still happening. You know, 6 people a day, 1 every 4 hours. Technically are being diagnosed with cancer. So cancer doesn't stop, unfortunately.
So are we seeing the same number of patients having to go into clinics for treatments, or are more treatments able to be taking place at home now?
We're not seeing more happening at home. I know that the Ministry of Health have been talking about potentially fast-tracking some medications that would allow people to have their treatments at home. I've yet to see that physically come through yet. There's 1 or 2 medications that allow that to happen, so you can take tablets rather than coming in for medical treatment in a hospital, but I've yet to see that tap turn on. I'm hoping it turns on very shortly. So numbers should be much the same, but as I say, people are pretty fearful at the moment.
And how has the situation changed the funding for the organisation? Because, I mean, everyone is now buckling up for a recession.
Yeah, it's hit us pretty hard. We don't receive any government funding, so all of our funding comes from people, from donors. Particularly, we run events, and most people would know them, Schaefer Acure and our firefighters, Sky Tower Challenge. And those two are probably our biggest. They've had to be postponed, cancelled. And they represent, just those two alone, represent over 50% of our income. So Our challenge at the moment is that our funding is tanking, in a lovely technical word, but the need for our services is actually surging. So we've got that oxymoron of our staff being run off their feet, yet our funding is dropping at the moment pretty significantly.
Have any of the major partners been able to help more, or are they having to see the same thing happen to their own companies?
I've been talking to a number of the other not-for-profit organisations and they all seem to be in the same boat. Obviously, your DHBs, hospitals, are government-funded, so at this stage, they are fine. But your not-for-profits, which offer a lot of services around the edges of the DHBs, they tend to take some of the weight off the front line, are all struggling a little bit. They're all in the same boat.
Could this mean we'll see more fundraising efforts from non-for-profits later in the year once this has all died down?
Yeah, well, I think so. The danger will be that everyone will be postponing, so you'll end up with this bottleneck, I suspect, of charities all trying to fundraise when we can. That said, there's a few things that we can do at the moment, and I know a lot of organisations, including ourselves, are trying to innovate. So things like Shaving for a Cure, despite the fact that our major events have been postponed or cancelled, particularly schools and any large public shaves, a lot of the people that do actually shave for a cure have a real connect to an individual. I know, James, you've shaved for us at some stage in the past. So people do have that connect, and they can still do it at home, on their decks, in their properties. They can sit down and still do the shave and raise funds for us. So I suppose we're encouraging those that can to continue doing the fun things because we need fun things while we're in lockdown.
I did mine on Tuesday. I did a live stream online and that was a lot of fun.
So those are the things that we're hoping people will keep on doing. We realise that everyone's in their own little bubble and they've got their own little problems. But those that can and are willing to, we're encouraging, I suppose, to live stream to do their thing and help us out. And for that matter, every not-for-profit or charitable organisation, if they can help out, then that's really what we're hoping and asking.
Now, obviously, because everyone is at home and online, could we see more online content and awareness being raised online from leukemia and blood cancer in New Zealand?
Yeah. And that's one of the innovations. We've been talking about it for some time. It's funny because when life is normal, you do normal things. And we've been talking about being more online and being far more innovative about what we do and what we deliver. And we've been developing our online capacity for some time. This has probably just given us that push to do a little bit more. So we're doing a range of different things at the moment. Yesterday, we had a clinician, Rob Winecove from Wellington, who heads up the Mulligan Institute, talking online. We had 120 registered patients online listening to Rob. So a lot of the services that we've done in the past and the information we've done in the past is moving more and more to online. And ironically, we're probably reaching and hitting far more people. So the downside is you don't get that face-to-face touch that we're probably used to and is really important. But similarly, there's a range of different platforms like the one we're using right now that we can start to use a little bit more to get our information out, to connect with people and do a range of different things. Doesn't work for everyone. We're still having to deliver things like vouchers for petrol, particularly for food. So a lot of our patients won't be working. Like many of us, many of them have been out of work for some time. A range of them are spending money on their own medication and treatment. So they're also struggling with their own financials at the moment. So one of the things that LBC has been doing is obviously continuing that. And we've seen a real surge in people needing support and help over the last couple of weeks.
I was going to say, what sort of support is LBC offering patients currently?
So we continue to give the online and through the phone patient support, guidance and advice. We've stopped visiting patients for obvious reasons because they are immune compromised, but we can still converse with them, talk with them. We're talking with them on a regular basis. We are delivering vouchers for food, petrol, supporting them to get food when they need it. So our front end staff are still helping with that sort of thing. We're still running peer group meetings, so bringing patients together, albeit online. We're providing information around COVID-19. We're providing specialists and clinicians online to be talking to patients and helping them and their families understand their journey and how best to manage that going forward. So all sorts of topics are being delivered at the moment online. So if anything, it's ramped up, albeit we're not leaving our homes as much as we were in the past.
And how can the general public help those who are cancer patients?
Stay at home. I know it's tough for everyone being in lockdown, depending on your own home situation. But our patients and all cancer patients, for that matter, are by far one of the most vulnerable groups. So they are heavily reliant on people playing the game when it comes to this lockdown. They can't afford to be infected with the virus. That would be virtually a life and death situation for them. So people can play their part by doing what they're being asked to do would be number one. And I suppose number two, for those that can, it's about, we know Kiwis are pretty good at this, but digging deep and helping those key organisations and services and charities like Leukemia and Blood Cancer to fundraise to be able to provide the services that we do behind the scenes. And that would be mightily helpful as well.
Are there any other comments you'd like to make?
It's a tough time to make comments. I'm kind of hopeful that there's a part of me, the glass half full person, that hopes that we can get on top of this pretty quickly and get it under control. There's a part of me that knows from the modelling of what's likely to happen around the world that this is going to happen for a wee while yet. So Yeah, I just hope everyone keeps safe, that they look after their own, they take a breath, a big breath, and they make sure that they put their family and their own health first, but they also look out for others. I think a lot of Kiwis are doing that. It's not just our communities, but it's obviously the most vulnerable, the people like our patients, which I've mentioned before. So I think it's about taking a big breath, getting over ourselves a little bit, and doing what we can to keep everyone else safe.
James Tapp there, speaking to Peter Ferguson, a very informative chat too, and a good point. It's really about thinking about others at this point in time.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.